Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Q&A show. I am Jason Avant, representing the University of Michigan. I'm in a small, cramped Airbnb in Miami, ready to see Michigan and Georgia get it on. But before we get to that game on Friday, the Eagles just played this past Sunday, annihilated the New York Giants, and I'm here with my main man to talk about it, Quint Michael. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody? Hey, man, that's great news for Michigan. I'm excited to watch the game. Unfortunately, Boise State, we had some COVID issues, so we had to cancel our game. But yeah. I will be rooting for the Maize and Blue. And,
oh, look at that. Man, that's the wrong heart right there.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, let's get into it, man. I'm excited. You know, it's another great week, another great game by the Eagles. And let's enjoy and get into it, man.
All right, sweet. Before we get right into it, let's thank everyone that is tuning in, watching us on Inside the Birds, or everyone that's submitting their questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. Everyone that's submitting their questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. And also, we want to thank Jeff and Adam and Hunter and Josh and everyone's responsible at Inside the Birds, all the fans that are tuning in each and every week. Thank you guys a bunch. Make sure that you check us out. It always drops Thursday at 6 a.m. The Q&A show on Inside the Birds platform, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Amazon Music. Make sure you're giving us likes and giving us feedback. We love to hear you guys ask us questions and also give us feedback. So thank you guys for tuning in. Q, let's jump right into it this week. Eagles 34-10. You were the closest this week with the score prediction. I think you had 31-3.
34-3, man.
34-3. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 34-3. And they scored that last minute touchdown, which kind of messed up your score, but you were the closest. All of us were pretty low. So I just want to make sure that I give you your props for that. Evaluate the offense, Q. What did you see? Slow start first half, drop passes, timing was off. Was it the result of two NFC East games in 5 days? What was your evaluation?
Yeah, you know, they got to a slow start. They got, you know, they kind of hit their stride, especially in the second half. I do think it has a lot to do with playing two NFC East games within 5 days. I mean, that's a tough haul, and especially preparation wise, it's tough to come off one game and basically try to recover from the first game and then try to game plan and cram everything in a couple of days. And, I think that's probably the biggest issue and the biggest reason why they had the slow start and the sloppy start to this game.
Yeah.
So, the good thing is they overcame it. And I think the defense, even though, things were a little bit sloppy, I think the defense held the Eagles football team kind of in play long enough for them to kind of get back their timing and get ready, get back on it. So, that was my biggest issue with even having to play this game and having, the last game against the Washington football team. This is why exactly, you don't do what happened if a team is unable to. Yeah. To play on a Tuesday, to move a game on a Tuesday, that's just tough. I mean, imagine if the Eagles had to play, the Buffalo Bills or the Patriots or the Buccaneers or a team like that. Imagine how crazy this would have been in this game. So
yeah, it would be down a bunch of points at halftime.
Exactly.
Yeah. So valuation for me, slow start. The drop passes, like, I don't care how many days it is, like, some of those passes are just. A lot of times, those are just – when you're dropping those ones at the beginning of the game, that's just the nerves. That's the mental game. And a lot of fans and people don't realize is that you think, okay, these guys are professionals. They should catch every one. They're getting paid to catch the football and all those things. There's a mental side to this game. And the toughest part of the game for anyone mentally is at the beginning of the game and at the end of the game. And I don't think that they were prepared mentally for the beginning of the game. Maybe they saw the first 15 and Dallas was pressing. And I got to make sure I catch this first one. And he made it more of a mountain in his mind mentally than anything. And then once you have one of those drops, it kind of snowballs, especially when it's one of your leading guys that have been over 100 yards the last couple weeks. So, and then it kind of snowballs. So you get one, and then you get two, then you get three. And it seems like it's like it gets out of hand really, really fast. And that's what I think happened. And I felt bad because Jalen Hurts, you know, had to climb his numbers back into being respectable. Because he finished up with 17, 29, almost 200 yards, but he had five or six drops. Like,
yeah, that's,
you know, we talked about that before. Like, so if you add that into it, that's 22 for 29 or 23 for 29. Go, it happens that way pretty quick, you know. So I feel bad because he's always trying to, it seems like he's in an uphill battle with trying to keep his completion percentage high. And when he's accurate, you can't drop him because there's going to be time when he's totally inaccurate. So you got to make the best of him when you get him.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this question about that, because okay. I kind of know as a defensive player, like, you know, if I miss a tackle or, you know, I have a couple bad plays, I kind of know how to cook it, but I never really offensive at that level. And I know you didn't have a whole lot of drops, but if you did have a drop or a couple of drops earlier in the game, like what is something you would do or how would you coach a player to kind of fix that? And, you know, like you're looking at Dallas, how would you approach that situation with the first, second couple drops?
Well, it's football is the most humbling sport of any sport. I would say that in like fighting, but football is one of those games where you can have impeccable hands, but it's 60 miles per hour wind a day. And I don't care how good your hands are, that ball comes to you and then it makes a left turn or a right turn right when it's getting to you and it touches one of your hands to your hand. They count it as a drop. Or it's raining crazy like it was in Buffalo or New England a couple of weeks ago when they played Buffalo and no one can catch the ball. And Buffalo had all those drops and picks and it was crazy. So football is that game that humbles you. So it kind of prepares you to be prepared for it. And you have to literally, coaches say this all the time, is that you have to play each play as its own entity, and it takes a lot of practice. You can't take the next play into this play, no matter if it was good or if it's bad. You got to play it with one play at a time, your max focus on that play. And when guys are dealing with drops, I always say, don't worry about the crowd. Don't worry about the play call. Don't worry about anything. You make sure that you're playing full speed, because what happens is that when you get scared or drops begin to happen, your body begins to take on the trauma and the fear, and you begin to slow down. So therefore, your chances of making a play, the next play, goes down because you're traumatized. You want to make it, but your body's kind of shutting down. You have to make sure that you're continuing to run through the football, play as fast as you can, and then don't worry about catching it. Just look at it. I always say you catch the ball with your eyes first. Just look at the ball the entire time. I remember, you know, catching a ball from Donovan. It was an experience when I first got here because Donovan can throw a ball hard enough where if he didn't want you to catch it, you weren't catching it. That's how hard he can throw the ball. He can throw the ball to the point where it was so hard that you couldn't catch it if you wanted to. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you had to be prepared mentally on how the ball would come out. And if it came out low, because the quarterback coach or the offense coordinator, Coach Reed, was not going to say anything to Donovan about it. Like, you know what I mean? He was going to say something to the receiver. Like, it was your job. So I had to get in that mental space. Like, hey, this is his own play. Don't matter what happened last, but let me focus on it. You get better at this. But it's something that takes practice. You got to make sure that you isolate each play.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Like so that. let's continue. All right, so let's talk about it. Jalen Hurts, 17 for 29. He did have two touchdowns. We didn't run the ball as well as we would like. And we didn't have as many attempts as we normally have. We usually have another 10 attempts or so. We had 30 attempts, which we are close to 40. Jalen only ran the ball twice for 7 yards, which is uncharacteristic. Yeah. So what do you think of Jalen Hurts' performance?
Yeah, you know, I think he played well enough to you know, win the game. Obviously his stat wise, I think when he's running the ball more and more, the RPOs, I think he's more effect, has a bigger effect on the game. It looked like the Giants just sold out against the run early, especially early. And, you know, we talked about the missed passes in the first half, and he was kind of digging out of a hole from the rest of the game, so to speak, when it came to completion percentage. But I think I think the biggest thing for me that I think he needs to work on, I think game plan wise, I think we need to have a more of a bigger part with the RPO game, because I think that's a different element that a lot of teams aren't used to seeing in the way that the Eagles are using it. I think it puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses. And then I think the one thing that he's got to get a little bit better at is the main thing for me is he's got to have better anticipation. A couple of his throws, especially the one in the red zone and the deep ball to Quez, we'll talk about those. But I think it's more I think he's a little bit late on those throws, and we've been talking about it all year. But now he's got to start to see the entire picture. He's starting to see a little bit better picture, like his viewpoint goes from here, so now it's here. And he's got to continue that progression to where he can see and anticipate a bigger, wider view of the field and then be able to execute. So, but the good thing is he's getting better and it's slowly coming around. And so if he continues to, you know, get in the film room, get with his coaches, I think, you know, this game will be something he can learn from moving forward.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, because let's talk about his game. Now, I think his ball placement has gotten a lot better, especially on throws that's within his arm range, mm-hmm. right? So we're talking about that 20 yards and in, right? That's in his wheelhouse. His ball placement on those throws have gotten so much better. He threw one across the field to Davante Adams. He was rolling left, stopped on a dime, got his feet set, because early in the year, he would have tried to throw that on a run, and it would have ended up short hopping to Devontae Smith. But he ended up rolling left, stopping on a dime, getting his feet set, body squared to the throw, threw a dime across the field to him. First down. It was the third down that it happened on, right? Those are like little things. Even on all the drops that he had, those were catchable in the body range from the hips to the chest. They weren't hard or high or anything. Like, first of all, it's kind of hard to drop Jalen Hurts to pass, because it doesn't come that hard. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't. Yeah. So that's just a lack of concentration. Even on his tunnel screen. Tunnel screen is not the easiest catch, especially if you got a quarterback that's humming the ball out there and you got to run back to the ball, right? So it's not always the easiest catch. But he throws a very catchable pass, which is good. So that's just lack of concentration from those guys. But overall, Jalen, his ball placement 20 yards and under has gotten way better. So I got to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. Way better. Where he struggles is down the field.
Yeah.
And when you don't have an arm that's big enough, you have to throw with anticipation.
Yes.
You cannot be late. You can't see it late. You got to be able to get it up. Devontae Smith's down the go route down the field, that was a touchdown. Devontae Smith had to stop, come back, and get the ball. But he had the guy beat Bradbury by 3 yards. Yeah, and if that ball is out on time, he double clutched it because he saw it twice. He ended up double clutching. Your arm is not big enough to double clutch, then get back in position to throw it again. So once he double clutched, he knew he couldn't like reset because it would have been picked. So he double clutched and hurry up and got it out where he didn't have all of his body with it and all that stuff. So those are like little things in the throw where Quez should have been a pick. Like, it just should have been. That was a balloon ball. I don't know what the safety was doing, whoever it was. Like, that's one of those that's defensive coordinator or the defensive back coach, you pissed at that. You like, dude, you let him get away with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was so and I love Jalen. I love him. But it was so bad that Jonathan Vilma on the TV copy was like, oh my God. Like, when the ball came out of his hand, he was like, oh my goodness. Like, he was like, oh, I don't know how Julian Love didn't make that play. You know, so like little things like that. When it's down the field, he's just throwing it out there somewhere. He's not driving it, and he has to get a lot better down the field.
Yeah, that play, and we were kind of talking on text on that play. that play was made solely by Quez. Yeah. Quez made him right on that play because that should have been an interception. I actually think the DB relaxed because he saw how bad it was overthrown, and he kind of relaxed, and this was kind of like, you know, oh, just it's gonna be a nice punt. Little punt return. I'm gonna get him. He's thinking about his celebration down the sidelines and all that stuff. And you know, Quez came back and made a play on the ball, and that was a tremendous play by Quez. And that was a terrible throw by Jalen. And it was late. He threw it late, and he threw it way too high, like you said. If he throws that more across the field, away from the safety, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, he has to learn to drive those throws. It's not like college where you have such a big, you know, hash marks, and you got one side of the field. The safety can't get there because, you know, it's all the way on the other side of the field. No. You got to be able to drive those balls 40, 50 yards down the field. You still got to be able to get it down there. You can't just throw it up in the air as high as I can and hope for the best. You know what I mean? So, you know, so, but overall, just think about it. Over the last few weeks, he's played much better.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. much better, mm-hmm. You know, so I can't complain. I'm just saying that in order for him to go to the next level, he has to get better with his down the field throws and seeing a few things.
Yeah.
Like the strip sacks just can't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how you didn't see the guy there. Like, what do you think? You already have 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket. Like, where do you think you're gonna be? Because he had enough time. Like, where do you think he is? Like little things like that. He has to get better.
Absolutely.
But this is where it kind of frustrates me though, Q. This frustrates me. We start the game off with 3 straight passes. We're a running team.
I know. I don't
feel like pretty much the most of the first half was passing.
Yeah.
First. It was like, okay, let's like no, don't deviate. Let's do what we do.
Yeah.
Punt it. Run it, punt it. Because one of them gonna crack.
Yeah. And that mindset, you know, like I said before, the Giants were selling out against the run. Well, you know, if the Eagles team does make it into the playoffs, what do you think is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
They're going to load the box up. So you can continue to put your team in bad situations by, like you're saying, throwing it on first, second down and getting your team back up against a good playoff team. Or you do what you do, like you said, let's run the ball. If we got to punt it, just punt it, right? And that, to me, I agree. That was really frustrating seeing that coming out. And it showed.
Well, we have the equalizer, though, because it's only so many people that you can put in the box when the quarterback is a runner.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You know, so unless they want to bring their safety down to match the quarterback, it's hard. It's very hard. So even if you bring 8 in and we have 8 near the line of scrimmage, the quarterback is still going to be the +1.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still advantageous to us to run the ball, especially when you have a quarterback that can run. So that's where I am with that. Now, there is play calling, like we just talked about Nick Sirianni play calling earlier in that game. To me, it was a little bit too pass happy, but you know. We end up right. We still went over 130 yards, but I was hoping that we can break a record with getting over 200 yards again or 175 again. We broke that streak, but there was some good games. Devontae Smith had a really good game. Yeah. 16 yards a catch, had a touchdown. Great sideline, toe tap. You know, Quez made some big plays down the field. We had a lot of guys with 14 yards or more when it came to you know, yards per catch. So that was real good as well. So kudos to Devontae Smith, Quez. Dallas had a, you know, just an okay game. He had 4 targets. He should have had all 4 targets, ended up with 2 catches.
Yeah. We can't leave out our man Lane Johnson neither. With
the touchdown.
How about that? Listen, I love that play. That was a great play.
I hate when linemen score a touchdown.
What?
Man, you know, listen, I hate when linemen score a touchdown.
The way he caught it, though, I was proud of him. He caught it with his hands, looked it right in.
It was good. It was good for the team.
I got to give props on that.
It is, but he take me.
Why you don't like when
we want all the glory, too. We want it all.
You say y'all do all that work and get it down there, and then it
running backs like, dude, get out of here. We want all the glory. I would love to see Rager or somebody else, JJ Arcega Whiteside. Lane, I love you. I'm sorry, buddy.
Damn,
all right, so we start the game off with three straight passes. Start the game off with a fumble on opening kickoff. Dropped interception. Late on Devontae Smith's catch. Late on Quez's. Miles fumbled. They ruled it down. Like, we just didn't come to play.
Yeah.
It was a bad game. I was there until halftime. It was a bad game to be at.
Yeah.
In that first half. I was like, what is this? What are we doing right now?
I mean, watching on TV just in general. I mean, I'm glad that they won. I'm glad they beat the Eagles, but that entire game, it was just bad. It was just an ugly game. And we'll talk about their offense, but their offense, the Giants' offense is atrocious right now. I mean, it was an ugly game.
All right. So a few things that we got to talk about, Q. Miles Sanders' hand.
Yeah, man.
Broken hand or shoulder.
No.
Broken hand. Jordan Howard injured shoulder.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me, don't you hate to see that?
I hate to see it.
Man's on his contract year. Finally get a chance to run. They didn't run with him early. Finally get a chance to get in there, and then he breaks his hand.
Yeah.
Averaging 6 yards a carry that game. Probably would have went over 100 yards if he stayed in there the entire game because, you know, most of those carries would have went to him instead of Boston. Just sad. It's sad because I think that may have been the nail in the coffin for Miles in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I feel for the guy. You know, I saw he posted something out there on social media, and I know he's kind of going through it right now. You know, it's just unfortunate. You can tell that. And that message right there, it spoke a lot to me. Because, you know, a lot of times we get on and we kind of talk about the younger players and, you know, even in my conversations with other people, we talk about these young players and how you don't know if they want in as much. And, you know, just seeing him go through that, it's just unfortunate because he really was putting in work. He really was these last few games starting to shine. And then it's like right when he was getting ready to just break out and really, really take over, you know, that happened. So it's just frustrating. I feel bad for him, man.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And, that's a tough break for sure.
Yeah, some people just kind of have those bad things happen to them. You know, you just got to keep on keeping on. Man.
Yeah, you just hope that he gets an opportunity, whether it's with the Eagles or another team, and he gets an opportunity to play and stay healthy. Because as a running back, you don't want to miss that opportunity to get that big contract because that contract doesn't come around again.
Yeah. It doesn't for running backs, and then when you do get it, by the time you hit 30, they're trying to kick you out the door. You know, so.
They're not even 30 anymore; it's 28. Like, look at Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard can play in this league.
Yeah.
He's on practice squads. Can't get in the league type. Like, what is going on?
That's crazy, man.
You know, that's just the nature of the beast, the nature of the NFL. The running back's value that there is none.
So let me ask you this: so moving forward, right? So let's say. The Eagles do make this playoff push. Uh-huh. They do make it to the playoffs. You know, it looks really good right now. How is Miles being injured and potentially Jordan with the shoulder? How is that going to affect the offensive play calling?
Like, what do you will. Boston is getting a lot more carries. We're going to need one of them. A stinger isn't that bad though, right? So a lot of guys play through that. Not having Miles. Like Miles hit some big runs. He hadn't been able to get in the end zone, but he's definitely been able to hit some big runs. Jordan Howard is going to, you know, he's not running for more than 15 yards, you know, but, you know, he's going to move piles, and we need that tough running. So the big, we just got to depend on Boston more and Gainwell.
Yeah.
Will it be the same? I don't think there's as good of running backs as Miles, but Boston is definitely capable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and I did see this
I don't think we're going to miss that big of a beat with him out, to be honest. But we will miss him and probably the home run ability. But we're not going to miss much. It's just like one of the offensive linemen leaving besides Kelsey or Lane. They find a way to get it done.
Yeah. That'll work. Yeah. They also signed Kerryon. I think they signed Kerryon Johnson back.
Back.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's got to be on active roster, but you know, he's another guy. He's been here before, if I remember correctly.
Well, yeah, he was here before. And he definitely can take on some of the bigger back load because he's a bigger guy. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But I think Boston in the lineup getting more carries doesn't ever bother me.
True. Yeah.
He finds a way to play big. He didn't run the ball particularly well this game with 3 yards a carry, but you know, if there's a lane, he'll find it. And he has home run ability too.
Yes, sir.
Those little, but it maybe it looks like home run ability because, you know, when your legs are little, they move faster. And they got short legs. They take a million steps.
That turnover, man. That turnover. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the draft team.
All right. The NFL season is winding down. The playoffs will be here before you know it. And that DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner for the NFL. The offers are getting even more amazing. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team and win their game. And if they do, you will win $200 in free bets. Don't miss out on this action. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get in action with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets of the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code ITB. Bet just $5 on any NFL team and win $200 in free bets if they're victorious. That's promo code ITB this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. And an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have any gambling problems, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nice.
DraftKings.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Some of these games, like, you would have made some money with DraftKings this week, Q. You've been close. You've been close. Over and under. All right, so Eagles defense. Let's talk about it. Eagles defense versus Giants. Overall defensive play. I think this may have been the easiest game on defense you ever have in your life. Let's talk about that. 23 for 44, 108 passing yards on 44 attempts, one touchdown and two interceptions. It doesn't get worse than that. When you throw the ball 44 times and you end up with 108 yards, that's like freaking 2 yards or something per play.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad.
That's embarrassing.
That's bad, right? That's so I don't necessarily know, you know, how well the Eagles had to do. They were throwing like some grapefruits to these guys. We were dropping a few of them. Tell me about your defense evaluation.
I mean, this is a tough game because, I mean, the Giants offense is so bad. I mean, I feel like my old fat butt can go out there right now and would have played well against this team on offense. I mean, they look that bad. Now, I will say this. I think defensively, they stopped the run well. You know, obviously two turnovers, covered well. It's just, I just think of what could have been. Like, I'm sitting there watching that game, and then we fast forward to the Monday night game, and we're watching the Miami Dolphins, and I'm watching the Miami Dolphins and the Saints, and Ian Book, you know, his first career start. Same situation, kind of a little different than Jake Fromm, but in the same similar way. And I'm watching, I forget who the defensive coordinator is for.
He was
dialing it up against the Saints. And I know this team, this Giants team, you don't necessarily have to do that. You don't necessarily have to blitz. But I'm thinking, I mean, the first half, I mean, they hit Ian Book, I mean, almost every play. It got to the point to by the third quarter, it was like you could tell he didn't even want to play. And to me, that is what I felt if I'm a defensive coordinator that we would have done against Fromm.
Yeah.
Like, why play?
Why give him a chance?
Yes. Take it away from them from the very, very start. Take their heart from the very, very start. Come after them. We didn't really blitz at all again. And we didn't have to. So that's the hard thing. It's hard for me to really have a gripe with it. I just wish that we would have came after him a little bit more. But that's not Gannon's thing.
We end up scoring a defense touchdown, Roddy making a great play and getting it to Alex running it in. We end up making a defensive touchdown. But in that first half when the offense was struggling, if you come in after him, you're probably going to score. And this score is probably ending up being 50-something because the defense is going to probably score two or three times that game because that's how bad the quarterback play was. If you're attacking them, the ball is going to be turned over in your favor. So it's a good strategy to do that rather than sit back and give guys confidence. Just what happens if the guy can actually throw and you're allowing his confidence? It's hard to break a dude's confidence once he feels that he's established it. It's hard to go back and do it, but if you take it from the beginning, it's hard for that person to come out of it. I've only seen one guy come out of a beating really bad in my life. That was Eli Manning in 2006, where we destroyed him, and he ended up coming back and winning that game. That's the only time I've ever seen it happen, where a guy was pummeled and recovered from it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'm with you there. You said it perfectly. Like, don't even give them an opportunity to get confidence.
Yeah.
Don't even give them a chance to feel they can belong on the field with you. And that's the way – I hate to sound like that, but that's the way I've always played the game. That's the way we've always learned the game is take their heart from the start and then finish them off in the end. So,
yeah. Linebacker play, everyone's talking about the linebacker play, talking about how well – you know, Alex Singleton has come back in for Davion Taylor. Edwards, you know what? You know who's been playing well, and you got to give him credit for it because I've always felt like it's a guy that's out of position, but it's actually his best position as strong as, you know, Jarnaid Avery.
Yeah,
he made some plays, made a really good tackle on one play where he ran a guy down. Like, they're playing well. He's playing well at the strong.
Yeah.
For the most part, and Alex Singleton is a lot quicker to the ball than he has been in the past, and I think Absolutely. That's because TJ Edwards is in there, and the play with him being out, maybe he saw what they were requiring, what they upped the level to, and maybe he's playing better because of it. But he's definitely quicker to the ball than he ever has, because he'll make 12 tackles, but he'll make 12 tackles at 7 yards down the field. which is no good.
And then I think the overall core, linebacking core, two things that I'm noticing. Number one, they're playing with way better awareness, route coverage behind them, understanding where they're supposed to be in their zone. And I think they're playing aggressive, like you said. They're coming forward now, and they're playing well off each other. Man, this group, they've really grown up in a short amount of time. And it's been really cool to see, because at first, I mean, we were like, man, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And then
now there were some games that were really bad. The Raiders game, really bad.
Oh my God. Yeah. But they're learning this entire, they're starting to get it. They're starting to come along. They're starting to play together. And I don't really have any gripes with the linebacker core at all. I mean,
All right, there were some things being said because, you know, Marcus Epps played 47, Harris played 46 snaps, McLeod 38 snaps. I just think that as the game got on and as the lead began to get out of hand, you want to get your veterans out of the game. So those guys are going to play a little bit more. But Marcus Epps is definitely, his reps are increasing, which is good. And I don't necessarily know if it's Rodney that needs to be filled the brunt of that. I think it should be Anthony Harris that feels the brunt of that rather than Rodney, because Rodney's a baller, I think. So what do you make of that situation? Are you liking to see? And every time Marcus Epps is in the game, I know that he's in the game.
Yes, absolutely. I think he's
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. He's doing something. You hear his name called. Pass knocked down. He comes up to make the tackle. Oh, man, it was just out of his stretch. He's making something happen. Like, Anthony Harris can go games, and you don't know he's playing.
Yeah. He's just out there.
Yeah.
And to answer your question about McLeod, I don't read into that too much. I agree with you. I think it was more kind of the game was out of hand. Let's get some of the younger guys in. But in my opinion, I agree. I think the starting safety tandem should be McLeod and Epps. I mean, those two, they play well off each other. They play aggressive. Epps plays like a missile out there. He's flying around. You know, he's making plays. And Rodney's always been a tremendous safety, in my opinion. And I just feel like you get way more out of the safety position in terms of aggressiveness what's the word I'm looking for? Like aggressive and getting around the ball and just instinctual play. I just think the entire back half of the secondary is much better with Epps in there over Harris. And you know, I like Epps' game, man. He flies around.
I'm pretty sure Anthony Harris is in there because of, you know, how many years he's had in the league, and you know, maybe it could be lining someone up. Maybe it's a safety blanket to free Rodney up to do what he needs to do down toward the line of scrimmage or what have you. I'm sure there's a reason and beyond our scope of understanding. I just know that when Marcus Epps is in the game, I know he's in the game.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's why he needs to be in the game more.
Yeah. Right. So overall, I think that defense played really well. The receivers for the Giants, the defensive backs played really well. The receivers for Giants, non-existent pretty much the entire day. You could say, you know, Tony was, you know, had a few good plays. But other than that, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything to write home about. So I think that, you know, Slay and the guys and, you know, are continue to improve their game. Steven Nelson, and I don't know if it's because of talent or whatever, they're competing. And not much is getting behind them. So that's a good thing. Hopefully we can do it for another game clinch, and we'll see what happens with the Cowboys, if the Cowboys are still taking their season serious in week 18.
Yeah.
Let's hope they know. So if they lose this week, they can rest their players, the Cowboys. They win this week, they're probably still fighting for number one. So that means they're going to play balls to the wall against the Eagles in week 18, if the Eagles can beat the Washington football team this week.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a lot of these scenarios play out. All right, let's do that Manscaped read. Support for the Q&A show is brought to you by Manscaped, the champion of the world for men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And they just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right, 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code QA at manscaped.com. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I've tried the 4.0 and I'm blown away. The craftsmanship and details are second level. Nobody wants to get hurt down there. You know what I mean. So Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionability and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer has a cutting edge ceramic blade that reduces those accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. You got to be comfortable down there. This upgraded trimmer also has a multi-function on and off switch that can engage a travel lock and has a 4000K LED spotlight that can turn on and off from precision on your shave. The new lawnmower even allows you to customize your trim with guard length sizes 1-4. How about wireless charging? Their new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction to help the battery last longer. Men, you can't use the same trimmer on your nuts and face. Nobody needs pubes in their mouth. Get your own ball hair and body trimmer with Manscaped. Make me time the best time like Jason Avant always does. Get 20% off and free shipping with code QA at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with code QA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code QA. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. And your balls will thank you.
Love it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh my God!
All right, let's get back into it.
Yep. All right. So now let's talk about this game versus the Washington football team. The Eagles win this game; they clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah,
we're a train ride and good play away from clinching the playoff spot. Can you believe our team, with the way we started this season, with all the experiments, lineup changes, dysfunction, quarterback play, lack of second receiver, Zach Ertz situation, Brandon Brooks being hurt, Jordan Mailata going out for a little while,
Brandon Graham being hurt,
Landon Dickerson going down, Brandon Graham, Jonathan Gannon play calling for the first 8 games, Nick Sirianni trying to make Jalen Hurts Russell Wilson at the beginning of the season. Miles Sanders not getting touches. Can you believe our defensive back first 8 games giving up the highest pass completions in NFL history? First 7-8 games.
Crazy.
And we're knocking on the door to the playoffs.
That's crazy, right? I mean, listen, we said at the beginning of the year, we were saying 8 wins is like a
good season for this
good season. And we weren't even thinking about playoffs, but here we are. Crazy, right?
What happens is that you start running the football, Q. That's the other thing that we both have said, that listen, the only way this team gonna make the playoffs, if this team has a chance to make the playoffs, is gonna be leading the league in rushing.
Yep.
And they've done that over the last 8 games for sure.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And the defense is figuring out ways to get off the field on third down. They're figuring out ways. To get off the field on third down. They're not a high turnover team. They have been, the last few weeks, but they're getting off the field on third down, which is good.
Very good. Yeah.
So I wouldn't have thought early on this year, if you had asked me this after 5-6 games, we were making playoffs, there'd be no chance because we were going in the wrong direction. Jalen Hurts has played better. Play calling has been much better. Offensive line play has been stellar. Defensive line flashes at times. Linebacker play has gone way above our wildest expectation. Yep. Defensive backfield is challenging people. Wide receiver play, not where we want it, but Devontae Smith is – they've clearly defined. Remember we were saying at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
The reason this team is struggling because Nick Sirianni is trying to figure out and be diplomatic about, who's getting the ball first, and he's trying to get everybody touches. Remember Jalen Reagor was getting all those targets and touches at the beginning of the season? Yeah. Now it's Goddard and Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
Goddard, Devontae Smith, Quez, you may get it one or two. Everybody else get two.
That's it.
That's it. And that's what we're saying. But, you know, they're just finding their winning formula, and I'm glad that they were able to figure it out, because most teams, when you start like that, don't figure it out. And the turmoil with the defensive line and Fletcher, you know, mentioning things in the media. You know, there's been some discord along the way as well. So to see this team fight back and put themselves in position is really, really good.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You said they found the right formula. And that's across the board with the team. And even special teams wise, I mean, everybody's been playing much better. And I think that's really the key to this is I think the coaching staff, GM, mm-hmm. the players, everyone involved, it seems like they all put their egos aside and they said, we're going to put together this formula. This is the formula that works. They tried it out. It worked. And they continue to stick with that formula. For the most part, they still, you know, every now and then kind of try to dip back down. But for the most part, they found this formula. They've put it together and they've kept it going. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're in the middle of a season, you're in a dogfight in a crazy year, and you're just trying to put some wins together. Now, after an off season, you can do whatever you want. Just, you know, blow it up, do whatever you want. But, like, in mid-season, in the middle of the season, if you find a formula and it's working, continue to do it, right?
Stick with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, now let me ask you this, all right? So, you know, Washington got embarrassed last week.
Yep, 56-14.
You think they're going to be ready to play? Do you think they're going to come in here angry? Or actually, we're going there?
I think every NFC East game, besides the last few, because of the teams that are being played and a lot of injuries. Let's keep this, get this in perspective. A lot of injuries, a lot of COVID.
Yeah,
they'll get a lot of those guys back. They were playing with guys named John Smith at cornerback last week for, you know, against the Dallas, against Cowboys. Like, I don't know their names. They were playing, they were playing them, and they were getting burned. So when you get, you know, William Gay back from COVID, and you get Fuller back, and you get, you know, some more guys back on the defensive line and linebackers back, because their whole team was out pretty much. Been the last couple weeks where they've been struggling. So when you get a bunch of these guys back, the game is going to get very competitive really fast, especially on the edges. So we have to make sure that we stick to running the football like we did in the first meeting.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so and when he does pass the ball, make sure it's not in harm's way and you're not floating. Just continue to drive it. Drive it like you do the 10, 15-yard passes. Drive that 40-yard ball down the field. Throw it. Don't pick a spot and throw it up there high. No, pick a spot and fire it there.
Yeah.
They'll go get it. You know, put your body into it, huh?
They'll go get it, right?
Yeah, they'll go get it. He can't outthrow them. What?
No, you're right.
You just can't. It's not saying anything. Right? Washington will be healthier this time around. We won't have Miles. We got Boston. We may not have Jordan Howard. Right? So you got Kenneth Gainwell and you got Boston against a really good Washington front. Now, they're missing a few people. You know, some guys out for the season. But they'll be fired up. Because we saw what happened with Payne and Allen on the sideline against Cowboys.
Fighting each other.
Yeah, they're in there fighting each other. Either they're going to be terrible or they're going to be good. I think they'll be good. You know, because they don't want to hear about the tension and stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll be ready to play. So I hope the Eagles come down with the mentality of we got to go into a hostile environment with a team that's coming off the loss. Just point back to the first Giants game. Everybody was, you know, lauding the team about how they changed the season around and how they're in playoff position. Their first, you know, they're in position to be a playoff team, and you go up there and stink it up versus the Giants. That can happen again, because remember, no one is looking at the Eagles like they're the Buccaneers and look at the Chiefs or the Bills or one of these teams that are surefire, you know, top, you know, five teams in NFL. They're looking at the Eagles saying this team is very beatable.
Yeah.
So you got to understand where you are on the pecking order. You still always believe in yourself, but you got to know that you have to play at a high level in order to beat any team. You can't play at 50%, 7% and win games.
Yeah. And so, and the other part. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, wait, go ahead.
I was going to say, too, the other part, I mean, they just played this team, what, 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
right? Less than 2 weeks ago, right? And then you know, they got embarrassed here. They're going to be at home. They're going to be ready to play. I think they got embarrassed. I don't want to say they got embarrassed. We beat them pretty handily. They got embarrassed definitely by Dallas. So they're going to be ready to play. They're going to come out ready to fight. So I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah, they'll be ready to play. Stop the run and stop Terry McLaurin. You got a good chance.
Yep.
Stop the run, stop Terry McLaurin. You got a good chance to win the game. All right, let's get into these audience questions, Q.
Okay, let's go.
Why are fans more willing to be patient with Rager than they are with JJ? Rager has more than double the snaps in comparison to both first 2 years in the league, JJ had played and is barely going to track 300 yards again. Is speed really that much of a factor in today's game? I'm rooting for both, but it just seems hypocritical. That question is from Malcolm J.
Malcolm J. So and I'll let you get in on this. For me personally, I think people want, because first of all, Jalen is a first round pick. JJ was second round, correct?
Yeah.
Unfairly or fairly, Jalen is constantly going to be compared. His entire career is going to be compared to Justin Jefferson. That'll always, and JJ will always be compared to
DK Metcalf.
But I think the biggest thing is I think Jalen has flash potential. I think when people see him on the field and he has the ball and he catches the ball, he does have the potential to do big things with the ball. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is, number one, he's compared to Justin Jefferson, who's just lighting the league up. Number two, when you look at Jalen and you see what he could possibly be in terms of his speed and after the catch ability, I think that's why people are trying everything they can to get the most out of. That's why I think the Eagles organization is trying everything they can to get out of him. You know, first round pick, that's a big investment. You want to get a return on it. He's got a lot of talent. He's got, you know, the pedigree with his dad. He's got speed. Like, he's got the potential to be a very good player. And let's face it, man. I'm watching Miami. You know, I see Mac Hollins catching deep ball. We're seeing in New England, Aguilar goes to another team, balls out. We're seeing all these receivers and players really in general, but mostly receivers go to other teams and have success. And so it's you're as a I think as an organization, you're looking at that like they're like, okay, well, maybe the evaluation is right. Maybe we're doing something wrong in-house to get the most out of them. And so I think that's what is going on there. And I think that's why me as a fan and a former player, that's why we look at the game and we're trying to see more out of Jalen, because we know there's more in there. We just got to figure out a way for the coaching staff to pull that out of him. Yeah. So I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. I don't see it as hypocritical. And then I look at JJ's game. I just don't like his game. I just don't think he offers much in terms of catching the ball and being dynamic down the field. Now he can block, he can do all those good things, possession receiver, but I just don't see as much potential in JJ. Let me hear what you got to say.
Here's my thing. JJ gets the short end of the stick. You know why? Because JJ looks stiff and he doesn't look the part, but he actually can get open. But he doesn't look like it. And a lot of times you just dismiss a player like that, even though he gets open in practice, even though when he's had his opportunities besides his first year in the league, he had the big drop and maybe one other play that was a negative. That's the only thing that you got on him.
Yeah.
When he's coming in the game, when he's coming in the game and he's been targeted, he's made a play. Every time. And it's not just this year. Every time that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has come into the game and the ball has been thrown to him, he has made the play besides his first year in the league.
Okay.
But he doesn't get enough recognition for what he does when he's blocking, and he deserves more run than he gets.
Okay.
He does. Like, he does. And you can't paint with a broad brush because you have these Ferrari-looking cars, receivers that look explosive, and they have all of these extra amenities and upgrades inside the car, and then you got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that's, you know, energy efficient, gets you to the destination, and you're like, I can't get it. He just don't look the part. He don't fit. Listen, sometimes that car is a little bit more efficient in certain situations. And I think as a receiver coach and as an offensive coordinator, you have to eliminate your biases. Just because you don't like a style doesn't mean it can't be effective.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the big body style releases, like shocking a guy off the line of scrimmage, like blocking people to release.
Like, that plays right in their hands.
Because I can win with my feet. But that doesn't mean that it's ineffective. Doesn't mean that it doesn't work. There's some guys that mastered it. There's some guys that don't even use their feet at all, but their hands were crazy. Imani Toomer's hands were nuts.
Yeah.
It really, like, his hand, like, you just couldn't touch him because his hands were so good. He would just wait for you to shoot whatever hand was and knock it down. It was crazy. His hands was crazy.
Yep.
And that's the way he won. I couldn't win like that. So as a coach, you can't paint with a broad brush. So Malcolm J.J. Arcega-Whiteside should get more run than he does. That's just my opinion. Now, okay. Jalen Reagor, there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people. It's a lot of pressure on a lot of people. There was a lot of people in the Eagles organization that wanted to draft Justin Jefferson.
Outside the organization.
You have a vested interest in making sure Jalen Reagor performs because somebody had to stick their neck on the line in order to do that. So they're going to give that kid as many chances as possible to prove that he cannot play. He can play, but they're going to give him every opportunity possible. And that's why, because they invested so much and the jobs of those that made that decision are being questioned. And they have the most say. So they're going to call down to the coach and say, hey, listen, don't take him out of the game. We got to see what he got. We got to give him every opportunity, hoping that he can rectify, hoping that he can justify that pick with his play. That's what that comes down to, Malcolm J.
Say word, son.
Politics.
That was crazy, man.
And he can play. He can. He has a lot of talent. They just want him to show it, to put it together. Sometimes people put together, sometimes they don't. You know?
Yeah.
Just because you got some good ingredients don't mean that they can cook them right.
I like that analogy. That was good. No. That was spot on, man. I couldn't have said any better than that. That's right. All right.
Will you knock out the second one for us?
All right, here we go. Yeah, last question. This is from Jesse W. Hey, Jason or Quentin. Let's go. I'm going to ask you this one. Hey, Jason, why do you think the Eagles are getting off to such sloppy and turnover-prone starts the last couple of games? Is it a focus issue or do some guys just need to get into the flow of the game?
It's a focus issue because last week the slow start was the Dallas Goedert drop kick.
Interception.
Yeah, the drop kick it to the man interception. This week it was, you know, we didn't turn it over. We almost had a turnover. We almost had two turnovers because Jalen threw a pick, but the guy dropped it. And then Gainwell fumbled. I don't know what that is. I couldn't tell you. I can't tell you what that is. I will say that we're putting ourselves at a higher risk of turning the ball over when there's a lot of stuff going on in the background right now. I'm like, what is that? It's this rickety fridge in the back. But there is I would say that passing the ball more is a higher chance of turning the ball over. I think we need to establish the game the right way and running the ball and come off of that. Yeah.
That's great. You better be careful, man.
Man, watch out. I feel like it's a person in the refrigerator or something. Trying to get out. You know, people under the stairs, people in the refrigerator. It's the only thing they had in Miami that was left. 300 bucks a night for a 75 square feet.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Save that money.
But no, I think it comes down to a focus issue and taking things for granted, maybe playing down to your competition. I think it's a little bit of that. But I think that the more you throw the ball at the beginning of the game, especially this past game, the higher opportunity is to get a strip, sack, fumble, you know, interception, those things. I think you need to get the confidence up by running the football, and then you'll protect the ball a little bit better.
I agree. And then the last part I'll add to that too, you know, obviously you try not to do that. You got a young team, but you know, this time of year, you got the holidays, you got all that stuff going on. You got, you know, the game getting moved to Tuesday, and then you got a short turnaround. So there's that element as well. And then listen, I think this is the biggest issue. And I don't understand why it hasn't been rectified yet, but this team has struggled more at home than they should be. And two of those last three games have been home games. And, you know, I don't know. Can't quite put my finger on it, but I think there's a focus issue at the home games. I don't know if they're locked in at the hotel or if they're staying at home or whatever's going on with that. But I think that is an element. So I do feel like if, you know, this game, and it's funny you mentioned that because I used to love going to play the Redskins back when they were called the Redskins, the football team, because our away games, we didn't have to fly. We didn't, you know, we just hopped on that train. It's nice and relaxed. You got a nice big space. You're up there about 40 minutes. You're off the bus. You're in the hotel and you're focused on the game. So I anticipate this team, this game, I think they'll come out ready to play. I think they'll come out more focused. And I just think it's more of a fact of those, they're not great at home for some reason. And I think it's a focus thing, just like you said. And I anticipate this week they'll be much better.
We hope. That's a tough one. It's kind of hard to figure that one out.
Yeah, that's a tough question. But that's my theory.
There it is. Quinn Michael.
Yes, sir.
This is the Q&A show podcast. I'm Jason Avant. My man, Quinn Michael, want to say thank you to everyone that tunes in each and every week, to Jeff, to Adam, to Hunter, Josh, everyone responsible inside the Birds. Thank you, guys, and to the fans. Make sure you continue to submit your questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. We're going to start getting into more questions as this all season comes around. insidethebirds@gmail.com. Q, got the last words.
As always, man, it's been great and enjoyed it. I learn, like I said, every week, man. I learn something new every week from you, so I appreciate that.
And that's all about each other, brother.
Yes, sir. To all our fans, I appreciate you guys supporting us and continue to support us and send those questions in, and let's continue this thing, man.
Come on, Michigan. Let's go, Birds.